called back, called to turn around his life, called back to life, Saul's Damascus Road. Called to see again, called to turn around, called to take in a new view, Saul's Damascus Road. Called away from hate, called instead to love, called into action, Saul's Damascus Road. Eyes opened, soul cleansed, body strengthened, ready for the road ahead, Saul's Damascus Road. Are we ready to hit the road with him? Well, good morning, everyone. Welcome on this beautiful spring morning. It's just lovely to see the sunshine and to just feel the sun on your face. And hopefully we'll get a few days like this. The order of service has quite a number of intimations in it. And I have a few maybe just to give in addition to that. A little message from Graham. For anybody that's got any contributions for the next edition of the Kirk magazine, could you please get them to him as soon as possible, preferably by the middle of this week, as it'll be due to go to print a week tomorrow. So it'd be very helpful for Graham to have the items for the newsletter as soon as possible for the magazine, sorry. The Green Group had a very successful coffee morning yesterday, and we'd like to say thank you to those who supported it. £231.10 was donated, and that'll go to the Eco Congregation Scotland organisation, who helps support the work of the Eco Congregations project around the country. And so for Morag and her team, a very big thank you. And just a wee reminder, it was yesterday, in case you're still thinking, but in the magazine it said it's next week. It was yesterday. Now, at the coffee morning, there was a little competition, a little game of people bingo, and folk were invited to find different folks that had done different green things. For example, they had litter picked as an individual, or taken part in an organised litter pick, or that they buy fairly traded goods wherever possible, or have low-energy light bulbs at home and use rechargeable batteries. And so we have a winner and a little certificate to give to the winner. If Sheila Stewart is here. Is Sheila here?
Oh, she doesn't come to this church.
Oh, well, Isabel, you'll need to tell her. She has to come next Sunday. But we have a little certificate for her if she is able to. We'll get it to her one way or another. You can invite her to come along, and if she doesn't come, you can maybe take it to her. But that was a really successful morning, just highlighting all the different ways that folk can help make the world a greener place and help slow down the destruction of our world. I had an email on Friday from one of the families that live around the church, and unfortunately there's a little bunny rabbit gone missing. Little milkshake. Okay, so I'll leave this poster maybe for the Friday gang to have, if they're around in the garden tomorrow, just to keep an eye out for a wee black and white bunny. And there's a phone number here to phone if you find her. I did check last night and she was still missing. So if anybody, you know, even today thinks they've seen a little movement in the bushes or something, please investigate and let us know. And I've got a phone number to phone and see if we can find little Emily's milkshake and get her back home where she belongs. It says here, missing pet rabbit, have you seen this bunny? She should be in her hutch, but she's not. So I'll leave it sitting here, and if any of the Monday gang want to take that, that'd be brilliant, and see if we can't help return the little bunny to our rightful place. I will leave you to read everything else that's in the intimation sheet in your own time. Come, listen to the call of the Lord. Let us respond together in this call. Come, we are his chosen instrument. Let us be equipped together as his people. Come, let us declare the name of the Lord. Let us worship together the Lord of all. We stand and sing together hymn 112 in your hymn book, God, whose almighty word. please join me as we come to God in prayer. Holy One, how amazing you are. You reveal yourself to each one of us in different ways and avenues. To some, you speak clearly through dreams and visions. To others, you send messengers to share your word. To yet others, you seem silent, but are discovered within nature and scripture. Thank you for using every way known and hidden to speak to us. Thank you for stubbornly refusing to give up on us. Parent God, life giver, we meet here today to sing your praise, to hear your word, to listen for your still small voice, to learn more of you and of ourselves. Lord, you long for us to know you more. Your wish is for all your children to know you and love you. Your call comes to each one of us in different ways, but the same desire that we respond and serve you. Lord, help us to see and hear your call. Help us to seek you out in our daily living, to actively look and listen for you, and to respond when we see and hear you. Forgive us for those times when we forget the call and choose to ignore it for our own selfish desires. Forgive us for those times when we become deaf and blind to your call because we are afraid of what you will ask of us. We are sorry that we don't always use the senses you have given us to receive your word. We're sorry that we allow the noise and busyness of our days to distract us from your messages. Help us to desire to communicate with you, to want to listen to you, and to speak to you. Lord, open our eyes and ears, our hearts and minds, to all that you would wish to say to us, to all that you call us to. Help us to face our fears and obey your call. And hear our voices as we join together in the words Jesus gave us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. In church, Anne is going to read to us a little story about a man called Saul. Saul who becomes Paul. And Saul experiences some blindness on a journey that he goes on. So he loses one of his senses. And I know different people, you know, are affected in their lives by maybe losing one of their senses. Some of us might not hear as well as we used to be able to. Some of us might not see as well as we might be able to. Some of us might not be able to taste the same. And I know some people lose their sense of smell. But I'm wondering if there's anybody here with a good sense of touch. Is anybody good at touching things and feeling them? Anybody want to come and see and put their hand in here and touch what I've got inside my bag? Do you trust me? Right, come on in. Come on then. I've got lots of different things in here, but what I want you to do is to put your hand in and feel one of the things and try and guess what it is. You manage that, so no peeking. See if you can feel something there and guess what it might be. What do you think it is?
It's something soft.
It's something soft. Right.
Is it a stamp?
It is a stamp. Do you want to take it out? Well done. It is. It's a stamp. And what's on the stamp?
A bird.
A dove. So there we go. Well done. Right. Do you want to have a shot as well? I'll come down here. If I sit down here. You want to put your hand in and see if you feel something and see if you can guess what it is. A bag of marbles. We'll take them out. These are Shuna, Red and Shuna's marbles. So if you ever find them, please return them to me. I have been known to lose them. Right, okay, do you want another shot? Because I've got a few more things in here. Let's see if you can find some. Oh, 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 oh. you found something. You able to work out what it is?
A medal.
A medal, what is it? Well, no, it's actually a whistle.
Oh.
Right, I'm not going to give it to you. No, you can. Right, we've got somebody else. Do you want to come and have a shot and see if you can feel something in there? Just no peeking. What have you got? Oh, you've taken out something wooden. It's a cross. Right, I think I've got, what have I got left in here? Well, I've got two more things in here. Right, do you want another shot? Right. What are you feeling? Is it hard? Is it soft?
Hard.
Can you work out what it is? No. We'll take it out and see. What is it? It's a moo cow. A cow. Oh, right, okay. An odd bag of things, haven't I? Do you want one? You can have the, see if you can guess what that last thing is. Is it soft?
Yes.
Is it soft? Right, well, let's see. What are you feeling when you feel it?
It feels round.
It feels round, okay. And it's soft.
It's got some paper, soft bits on it.
Other bits on it, so it's not just one round thing, it's got little bits on it.
Yeah, little bits, a wee bit more softer than others.
Some bits are softer than others, right.
Is it a shape?
Well, let me see, what is it? It's a little lamb, isn't it? Oh, look at this tiny little lamb, do you see that? That cute? A little lamb. So he was right, it is round and it's got bits, softer bits on it because the legs are softer, aren't they?
Yeah. Yeah.
So some of those things that were in my bag, you were able to feel and know straight away what they were, weren't you? You knew that they were marbles straight away, didn't you? And you were feeling around at the stamp and were able to work out eventually that it was a stamp. There was the whistle, which you thought was maybe something else. The cow, that was quite hard, wasn't it? Because you couldn't see it. Yeah, and then this little sheep was soft. Because sometimes things are not quite what they seem. Sometimes we need to use more than one of our senses to work something out. And that's what our story this morning is going to be a little bit about Paul, who starts off as Saul, but becomes Paul. And he loses his sight. And while he's blind, he comes to know Jesus. And then Jesus make sure that his sight comes back, and his life has been completely transformed. And he goes off, and instead of being quite a nasty person, which he was when he was Saul, becomes a really good guy when he becomes Paul. And I think one of the lessons we have today is we can't always judge things by how they look or they feel or whatever. And you might have looked at Paul and thought, he's still the same person, still looks the same, but actually he'd changed quite fundamentally in the way he was. Okay, so sometimes we might feel this and that. I don't know what it is, but you need to see it to understand what it is. Other things like the stamp and the marbles, you were able to feel straight away and know what they were. But not everything's always as it seems. Okay. Now, Paul, as I said there, goes off to be a really good person because he goes off to be one of the main people that tells lots and lots of folk about Jesus. And he teaches us through lots of letters that he wrote what it means to be Christian and how we should be as Christians. And one of the things he teaches us is to look after each other. And we're going to sing a little song. We've sung it once before. We're going to sing Build Up. And that's a nice little song because it teaches us something about how we should be together. The way we talk, the way we are with folks, we should be building people up and not knocking them down. So there is a little action for the chorus. So when we come to the chorus, we're going to build up, we build up, pretend we're building up, and then it says tear down is tearing down. Okay, do you think you can remember that?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. You can just stay here and sing it with me, or do you want to go and sit down?
I'd like to stay.
You want to stay and sit? Well, I'm going to just grab the words just in case I forget them. But you can stay, and then maybe we can do the actions together, and then everybody can copy us. Would that be a good plan? I think so. Right, where's my words? Right. We'll stay here. Right, we're ready. We're ready. Oh, Emily's here. If I put that down there. Every word you say, oh, every game you play, every silly face, every single play. Exercises. Right, you can have a wee seat and I'll put my little bits and pieces away.
The reading this morning is taken from Acts chapter 9. Verses 1 to 19, and if you want to follow it in the Pew Bible, you will find it on page 159. Let us listen for the word of God. In the meantime, Saul kept up his violent threats of murder against the followers of the Lord. He went to the high priest and asked for letters of introduction to the synagogues in Damascus, so that if he should find there any followers of the way of the Lord, he would be able to arrest them, both men and women, and bring them back to Jerusalem. As Saul was coming near the city of Damascus, suddenly a light from the sky flashed around him. He fell to the ground and heard a voice saying to him, "Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me?" "Who are you, Lord?" he asked. "I am Jesus, whom you persecute," the voice said. "But get up and go into the city, where you will be told what you must do." The men who were traveling with Saul had stopped, not saying a word. They heard the voice, but they couldn't see where it came from. Saul got up from the ground and opened his eyes, but could not see a thing. So they took him by the hand and led him into Damascus. For 3 days he was not able to see, and during that time he did not eat or drink anything. There was a believer in Damascus named Ananias. He had a vision in which the Lord said to him, "Ananias." "Here I am, Lord," he answered. The Lord said to him, "Get ready and go to Straight Street, and at the house of Judas, ask for a man from Tarsus named Saul. He is praying, and in a vision he has seen a man named Ananias come in and place his hands on him so that he might see again." Ananias answered, "Lord, many people have told me about this man and all about the terrible things he has done to your people in Jerusalem. And he has come to Damascus with authority from the chief priests to arrest you and all who worship you." The Lord said to him, "Go, because I have chosen him to serve me, to make my name known to Gentiles, and kings and the people of Israel. And I myself will show him all that he must suffer for my sake." So Ananias went, entered the house where Saul was, and placed his hands on him. "Brother Saul," he said, "the Lord has sent me, Jesus himself, who appeared to you on the road as you were coming here. He sent me so that you might see again and be filled with the Holy Spirit." At once, something like fish scales fell from Saul's eyes, and he was able to see again. He stood up and was baptized, and after he had eaten, his strength came back. Thanks be to God for this reading.
Thank you, Anne. We sing again, and this time our hymn is 501, "Take This Moment," hymn 501.
Thank you.
This morning we have listened to perhaps one of the most important stories in the Bible. It features Paul and his conversion, that moment when his life was turned around. We all have people that we admire, people who become our heroes. Well, the Apostle Paul is one of my heroes, and for a number of reasons. I love Paul. He's just such an interesting character. When we first meet him, he's a Pharisee, one of the law keepers. He's a keen persecutor of Christians. He was in attendance at the stoning of Stephen, holding the coats of those throwing the deadly stones, approving of the murder, it tells us in the opening verses of chapter 8 of Acts. Saul, as he's known at this point, is zealous for the law. He hunts down believers and throws them in jail, and he's merciless. And yet, he undergoes one of the most touching conversions to Christianity, and then goes on to become a great apostle and hero of the church. As I said, one of my biblical heroes. This zealous Pharisee, persecutor of Christians, is visited by Christ on the road to Damascus. He is set out on a journey with every intention, if he finds any more of those pesky Christians, to arrest them and to bring them back to Jerusalem. He's even gone to the bother of getting the paperwork that would give him the permission of the temple high priest to enter the synagogues and drag people out. This is a man on a mission. But he gets stopped in his tracks by Christ. He's blinded by a light and told by Jesus to carry on to Damascus, where he will be told what to do. No further instruction is given, no idea of who's going to tell him what to do. And now he cannot see anything, having been physically blinded by the brightness of the light. Ananias is sent by the Lord to Saul. Now, Ananias, quite understandably, doesn't understand why the Lord is being quite so kind to this horrid man. This is the man who's out to arrest anyone who is a believer. But God lets Ananias into his secret and informs him that this is the man, this is the one he has chosen to take his message to the Gentiles as well as to all the people of Israel. So Ananias obeys, and this is where we have picked up in our story. Ananias is witness to Saul's sight reappearing, but more than that, Ananias welcomes Saul into the circle of believers. He makes no judgment. Instead, he puts his trust in God. And this is an important move. It shows how big Christian love should be. A love that forgives and a love that trusts. A love that can get past behavior and see only the future. Saul, in return, goes to the synagogues and begins preaching the good news of Christ. And he's not afraid to show that he has turned his back on his old life as a prosecutor and persecutor. And he becomes perhaps the most important of the apostles. Saul, he heads back to Jerusalem. But instead of returning with prisoners, he returns to continue what he began in Damascus, preaching and teaching about Jesus. Paul, or Saul, as he still is in our reading, was a man of great passion and commitment, and a man almost obsessive about anything that he does. And this can and does often get him into trouble as we follow his story through. But once converted, he never goes back. He never gives up. He's willing to say and do whatever it takes to get his message across. What's interesting about Paul is that his life is mapped out in the New Testament as one of a journey. In fact, well, a series of journeys. Journeys that are both spiritual and physical. And as with most journeys, he meets people along the way who then influence him. We start today with the reading we heard. And he met two people on his journey to Damascus. First, there was Christ, and then there was Ananias. The first encounter with Christ, Christ shows him no condemnation of his previous life and instead welcomes and almost assumes that Paul will do what he is asking him to do. Paul experiences his conversion, and it was immediate. We often talk about people having Damascus moments, moments in their lives when they suddenly change direction or opinion or something in their life changes. It could have been a long-held belief that's let go. It could be they decide to give up one career to do something completely different, or even a habit that's broken suddenly. Some smokers speak of being able to suddenly just give up and never having a craving for another cigarette. And Paul, he had this blinding moment when he came to faith. We don't all have dramatic stories about how we come or came to faith or why we come to church. My story is certainly lacking any dramatic moments. From that point of view, I'm one of those people who just can't pinpoint that time that I became a Christian, to use, or came to faith, to use a churchy phrase. I grew up in a family that went to church regularly, and with the exception of a few years in my early 20s, church has always been part of my life. And so I don't know when I first believed in God, and I don't know when I first came to love Jesus. But what I do know is that my life was transformed. And I'm pretty sure our lives have been transformed by being part of this church community, by being part of the family of God. How do I know that we've all been changed? Well, it's simple, really. I want you to imagine your life without God. Imagine your life without this community that we call church. What gap would be left? Well, you might have an extra couple of hours on a Sunday morning that you might decide to do something else with, but you would miss out on all the singing and the praying and the hearing of God's word from the Bible, and I dare say you might even miss my attempts to try and put it into some kind of context. But you would miss so much more than that. You would miss out on the community of people that are gathered here. You would miss out on seeing God's work through those around you here as you minister to each other by being companions for the time that we spend together on a Sunday morning and at the various points you meet up during the week. However it happens, once a Christian, life is never quite the same again. And our lives as Christians are always journeys. Like Paul, we will meet people who help us learn more about what it means to be a Christian. I've been lucky enough to have journeyed with some truly wonderful people who have shown me what it's like to be more Christ-like in our world. People who, like Ananias, have been there to point me in the right direction. Ananias is the perfect foil to Saul. Here is a faithful man, doing his best to serve the Lord. And he's asked to do a job that he initially balks at. And yet he does as asked. And through his action, Saul becomes Paul and his life is transformed. We all have the possibility within us of being like Ananias. Our words and actions have the power to transform lives, those around us and of those further afield. How we live our lives says so much about who we are. In my message to the Scottish Parliament during Holy Week, I quoted Mahatma Gandhi, who said, "My life is my message." It's not a bad thing to remind ourselves of that now and again. The message of our lives, what do they send out to other people? Do we send out the right message? Would people recognise in us a life transformed by knowing and loving Jesus? Paul's life was certainly transformed. As the scales in his eyes fell away, so did his old way of thinking. And he goes on to spend the rest of his life sharing the good news of Jesus Christ. The message of his life was to demonstrate how even he could be loved by God and used by God to show what life could and should be like. But he needed Ananias in his life first to demonstrate that to him. I wonder if that's a starting point for us all, to demonstrate the love and acceptance of Jesus to the souls of this world. Because like it or not, our faith is under attack. There are people out there who would like to see us continue to diminish in number. They rubbish our beliefs, they resent our place in society, and are quick to point out the times when we fail to live up to our calling as followers of Jesus. I faced a little bit of this the other week. I posted a picture of our full church on Twitter. And among the many likes and retweets of the picture, I received a comment from one person scoffing at the image. Their issue was that there didn't seem to be too many young folk in the picture. I pointed out politely that they'd obviously not looked closely enough because the image was indeed of the church, but down at the front of here were a lot of young people, along with Ian, munching their cream eggs. Back came the reply that the children had obviously been dragged there by the adults, and I politely said, well, they were taken here by their parents. I did acknowledge that the church does face a challenge of ageing membership, but the point of sharing the photo in the first place was to show that the church was still important to people and that busy churches do exist. Now, despite my annoyance at the original comment and the implied anti-Christian attitude of the person commentating, I resisted the urge to snap back. Instead, I was polite and friendly in my use of language. And lo and behold, the person who'd launched the attack conceded that her granny came to church and got quite a lot from doing so. And she went on to say that it wasn't just good people of faith who could live good lives. And I agreed with her, because that's true. And we parted on good terms. From the initial attack, we ended up in a place where we had some mutual appreciation. And I thought that was a far better outcome than if I had retaliated with a counterattack to her initial message. If we say we are open and welcoming, then we have to demonstrate that. Ananias' instinct may have been to protest, but he listens to God, who asks him to go to Saul and demonstrate his love to him, and so he goes. We can all learn from Ananias to listen to God, to demonstrate God's love through the message that our lives send. The Sauls of this world will continue to challenge us, but Ananias' example is a challenge back to us. His is a challenge that demands that we let the scales fall from our eyes and look at the world through God's eyes, the all-seeing, all-knowing, all-loving God. This story in Acts sets in place a series of events that sees the Church of Christ grow and grow. And it took a faithful man to face his own prejudices to reach out to the persecutor of his faith. The result was a life transformed, a life resurrected. In turn, it took a man who was willing to listen and respond to his encounter with Jesus. He was open to being transformed, and wow, what a transformation. Ananias, Paul, like so many of the people we meet in the scriptures, are you and I. Not perfect, not without problems or issues to deal with, but able to show through the message of our lives that we can all be accepted and loved. How wonderful is that? Amen. We continue our worship, this time through our offering. Let us pray. All the world belongs to you, O God. All that is in the air, on land or sea, everything is yours. Receive our offerings this day, our gifts of money freely given, a sign and symbol of all that we offer to you of our very selves. Take these and use these gifts for the work of your kingdom at home and abroad. May your word be taken to every corner of the world, and may your people respond by turning to you. Amen. We sing together hymn 552, Oh, for a closer walk with God. Prayers for others are the words of the moderator of the General Assembly of the Church of Scotland, a prayer he wrote this weekend following the airstrikes in Syria on Friday night. So let's come to God in these words. In war and time of war, when the world is tense and people are fearful, Lord Jesus Christ, we turn to you for peace. Lord Jesus Christ, in this time of uncertainty, we turn to you for wisdom, we turn to you for justice, we turn to you for peace. Lord Jesus Christ, in this time of suffering, we pray for the people of Syria, for victims of gas attacks and for those who perpetrated those attacks. And we pray too for world leaders struggling with the politics of retaliation and struggling with the consequences of military action. We turn to you for peace. Lord Jesus Christ, when right and wrong, when action and consequence, when short-term response and long-term planning become enmeshed and complex, we pray for cool heads and compassionate hearts and actions marked by moral courage. We turn to you for peace. Lord Jesus Christ, Prince of Peace, Prince of Hope, and Prince of Justice, hear our prayers. Amen. We close our worship this morning with the song that the choir sang so beautifully on Easter morning here in church. I thought it'd be lovely for us all to be able to join in and sing the resurrection song. We sing, it's on the sheet that's inside your order of service. See what a morning glorious and bright with the dawning of hope in Jerusalem. The scales have fallen, we go with renewed vision, hearts open, hands out ready to embrace all that the Lord has in store for us. Send us out, Lord, to build up your kingdom, to walk your way. And may the blessing of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit walk with us, enlightening our path today and always.